Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form the DNA from Gentile Christians and the DNA from Jewish believers in Jesus coming together to form something that never existed before. It's the one new man. We're getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. Now, a lot of people don't understand me. They don't understand why I have such a passion for the supernatural of God, such a passion for the authentic. And I guess it's got to do with my heart. I have a heart for people to know God. They know religion just fine, but they don't know God. And I have found that when I reach out to the Jewish people, I pull upon that ancient DNA that releases something in the spirit realm. And I have found out the best way to reach a Jewish person is with the supernatural. So I would be interviewing my guest right now if I did not have a radio show, because I want to understand what he understands about the supernatural of God. His name is Terry Shuttlesworth. He is senior pastor at Dominion Christian Center in Virginia Beach, Virginia. I wish you could have been in on the conversation that we had just a little bit before. Well, maybe I'll bring you in on it a little bit. Terry, I am so intrigued, not only about yourself, but you come from a family of brothers and father that move in the supernatural. That's so unusual to have so many people moving in the supernatural. Tell me some of your earliest recollections of going to camp meetings.
Well, you know, we believe that you are a supernatural ministry that God has placed on this earth at this time to continue the supernatural into the next generation. We're not just here for ourselves, but we're here so that we can impart the power of God. And so when you ask me about the camp meetings, or when you ask me about the tent meetings, or when you ask me about church services, the things that I remember about those services are not necessarily the sermons that were spoken, but I remember what happened either during the messages or what would take place after the messages. I don't ever remember growing up in church where my father, for instance, would minister in some of the services that I was in, and the choir lofts would be filled with young people praying in the Holy Ghost, hundreds of young people on Sunday nights.
And today, and you probably know this, today the average, quote, Pentecostal or charismatic doesn't even pray in tongues anymore.
What I was just
look at the shift.
Absolutely. What I was just going to say to you is that if people want the supernatural, but do they want to live a life that is relevant to receiving from God? Or the old timers used to say, well, you know, you have to pay a price for the miracle working power of God. I read a book, and you may have read a book by A.E. Allen that was written years ago and talking about paying the price, and then Brother R.W. Shambach revised and rewrote on the God's miracle-working power. There's a price to be paid, and by that I mean there has to be some kind of a separation to receive the supernatural and to operate in the supernatural of God. If God is who He said He is in His Word, if God is holy, which I believe and you believe that He is, then that means He is unlike anything else. And I believe that to be in the unlikeness of God, we have be ye holy, even as I am holy. That was His declaration. So He's not asking us to do anything that we can't do. He wouldn't have asked us to be holy if we couldn't. And so I believe that today there's a move on that is really not the move of God at all, because it's a church that wants to be as much like the spirit of the world as it can. And as a result, it's filling with people. I mean, there are people in the church. Some churches are having 2-3 services a week, but the supernatural power of God is inconspicuously absent. God's not even in His own house. And so what I'm saying is, in order to have the power of God in a place, in a person, then that person has to be unlike the world and more like God. And so if you're asking me what I feel is a key to seeing the supernatural and to being a person who has the supernatural, I believe that it's a person that has enough boldness in the Spirit of God to not want to be like everybody else, but to be separated. God said, separate yourself unto me. I mean, the whole Pauline revelation is based on circumcision or the coming away. And if I'm going to have an eighth-day experience, or if I'm going to come into a new beginning in God, which we're talking about going back again to the Jewish custom of circumcision, if I'm going to have an eighth day in God, if I'm going to have a new beginning in God, then I have to be separated. I have to be different than what is the normal. What is the supernatural? It is the extraordinary or the above the natural. And so when you're talking to me about this, it's my heartbeat because, you know, I never felt like I ever fit in, you know, but a leader, you know, simply defined in Webster's dictionary is one who leads, not many. And so if you're going to be a leader in the things of God, if a woman or a man has a call of God on their life to do something for God, then we cannot be like everyone else and make a difference, because change comes because there's contrast. If there's no simple ability to see the difference between light and darkness, then there's not going to be change. Change comes when there's something that is visibly evident in front of us that we can change unto. Now, these things are not coming to us because we just want them to come. They come to us because we give our lives to Christ to the point where we say to Him, do anything that you want to do with me. Be who you want to be in me. And that requires separation.
But you're going against the whole world. You're going against television. You're going against religion. I mean, you're pushing against everything that has become, quote, traditional.
And if we're Christians, then I think if we're doing that, Sid, then we're doing what Jesus did. Jesus came, and He did exactly that. It may have been at His time, but nevertheless, they were at the highest technological point that they had been in their lifetime. And that would be, they had what they had, and Jesus came with a message and said, I don't agree with the politics. I don't agree with what's going on in the church. And He changed His known world, not by being like everyone else, but by being what the Father had sent Him to be. Jesus said in the Scripture, He said, I don't do anything save I first see the Father do it. I don't say anything unless I've heard the Father first say it to me. And so Jesus was, in essence, the radical that was bringing the change that was necessary in the world. We live in a world today that is so out of balance that I've heard people say, well, you have to keep everything in balance. If you keep everything in balance today, then you're not going to have the change that God wants in this earth today, because it's so far the other way that we have to have radical people of God who believe that signs and wonders follow them that believe.
All right, but you were raised in that. You were raised going to camp meetings, to tent meetings. Tell me one snapshot of something you saw as a kid.
The thing that I remember the most is not even necessarily the manifestations that happened from God's presence, but, Sid, the thing I remember the most was just the presence of God that would be in the building. I can remember as a child that you could feel the presence of God in the place. I can remember times where people have been slain in the spirit, and I can remember times where people were crying, and I can remember times where I've seen people get out of wheelchairs. I've seen deaf ears come open. I've seen all the manifestations of God's presence. But I'll be honest with you, the miracle is the outcome. It's the visible proof that the presence of God is there. Signs and wonders and miracles are not there just so that we believe in the miracle. Signs, wonders, and miracles come so that we believe in the Christ, so that we believe in God. And when you ask me that question, I feel like the Spirit of God is asking me just to simply say that the thing that I remember the most is not necessarily the outcome, but I remember the presence of God when it came. And even my calling at 12 years of age. And today I'm glad that I'm on a program where I can express things that have happened to me that are as real as my hand in front of me right now. And that calling that came to me when I was 12 years old in a church in Portsmouth, Virginia, not a special place. But at the time, a prophet of God, Hansel Vibert, was preaching. He had a church outside of Indianapolis, Indiana, and was a very well-known prophet of God at his time. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But in his service, he preached from a vision that God had given him on a hellbound train, a simple vision about a train that was going to hell and different people that were in different compartments, different types of people that had said that they were too busy and so forth, and that they were on their way to hell. Some had said, you know, I've got a business. They were on their way to hell. And in this message, it wasn't the profound message that hit me. It was the presence of God that got a hold of me. At 12 years old, I went to the altar. When I did, I began to pray, began to cry as a 12-year-old boy. But as I began to pray more, the presence of God that I felt around me was so real. And I cried out to God and I said, God, I've grown up in the church. My father's a pastor. But if you're real, you need to show me that you're real. Immediately, I went into an open vision at 12 years of age. And things that I had never even known, have never seen, was not able to define myself. Now I know that what I saw was a ram's horn that was being held by the hand of God at the front of the building that I was in. I figured, you know, everybody in the building could see it, but I was the only one that saw it. And I saw that that the hand of God was holding this ram's horn, and then the globe appeared, and it began to spin. The hand tipped over the ram's horn, and a gold liquid came out of it. It began to touch the globe that was spinning, and as it did, it filled the globe. It all disappeared. Only the hand remained. And then the hand came toward me and pointed the pointing finger and touched my lips. When it did, I was filled with the presence of God.
Listen, we're going to have to pick up right here on tomorrow's broadcast. But Mishpucha, his book, Standards for Success from the Life of King David. And we're making it available for a donation of $16. Reading this book, that's like hanging around you during that 40-day fast. And Terry has prayed literally for thousands of deaf people that have got their hearing back. I know that you'll be listening to tomorrow's broadcast. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha, or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.